We haven't talked too much, Deborah, about the third character in this scenario. James, was it Hyslop? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Hyslop.
Hyslop. Tell me a little bit about him.
He was a professor of philosophy at Columbia who, again, started out very skeptical. And he became also intrigued by this medium that I was telling you about, Leonora Piper of Boston. And he decided that, again, he would disprove her ability to talk to spirits. And he actually scheduled some meetings in which he came four times under an assumed name. And he came in wearing a mask.
He was determined, wasn't he?
He was totally determined. And he was only allowed, the medium only knew him as four times friend, which was a code name because he was coming four times. And he went in, and he was determined, as so many people were, to not give her any information. And it was about on his second visit that she started talking about his dead father, and actually, in her trances, would bring his dead father into the room. And the spirit that she appeared to be bringing to talk to him knew things that that spirit simply couldn't have known. And he actually then spent months writing to his relatives, trying to find out parts of his father's history. And you know, about, I guess, 85% of what she told him could be proved. And he ended up also being a convert to this idea of spirit communication, and it cost him his job.
So isn't it interesting that they got pulled over onto the other side when they didn't start there?
To me, that was one of the more fascinating things, is that you had these very skeptical people, and they did really, because they were scientists, they tried very hard to sort of control the experiment and test it from all kinds of levels. For instance, Leonora Piper was what you call a trance medium. She would go into trances. And poor thing, they did all these tests to show that her trance was a fraud. They stuck needles in her arms. They stuck needles in her lips. They put lye in her mouth. They put ammonia up her nose, trying to prove that she was faking the trance. And in fact, she never did, no matter what they did, come out of the trance, although she sometimes woke up with burns and other injuries from all these attempts they made to bring her out of this so-called fake trance.
Did in your research, not necessarily for this book, did you ever look into Harry Houdini and his obsession with the afterlife? And what he wanted, he tried to find his mother. I mean, he loved her so much, he wanted to find her in death. And, man, he went to medium after medium and just couldn't find her. And then I think prior to his death, he told his wife, Bess, they had some kind of a code. He said, "We're going to communicate when I go. We'll try this." And I think she ended up going to one medium eventually, who had the code and passed it. And I don't know if that was a myth or not, Deborah, but I don't know if you came across that in anything.
I did, and I've heard that story, too, that his wife eventually got the code. Yeah, I've heard that, everyone sort of second-guessed that because it was so specific. And some people speculated that the medium had somehow been able to sneak away and see the code. Houdini, during his life, was terribly disappointed. And he, eventually worked very hard to expose frauds and did successfully expose some frauds. He wrote a wonderful book called A Magician Among the Spirits, in which he looks at some of those issues. My take, this is my personal take, is that whether that 5% number is right or not, a really good medium is hard to find.
You know, it just takes one. You don't even have to worry about a percent. You know, as I used to tell some of our experts who talk about this crop formation phenomenon, you know, if you're looking at 1,000 crop formations and 999 of them are frauds, you've got one that might be real. That's all you need.
Exactly right.
That's all you need.
That's exactly right. And I think also Houdini, you know, was quite a good friend of Alfred Conan Doyle, who was a dedicated spiritualist.
Yes.
I think that he, you know, for all his exposés, he never quite obviously gave up. And my suspicion is that he occasionally bumped into something that made him believe he just hadn't found the right person.
Cover of your book, Ghost Hunters, obviously the Victorian garb here.
Yes.
Tell me about the cover. Is that an actual picture or was that staged for the book? Because it's a great one.
Isn't that a great picture?
Yeah, sure it is.
It's an actual picture. It actually was from an exhibit that was in the Metropolitan Museum of New York called The Perfect Medium, Photography and the Occult, that appeared about a year ago. And, you know, I'm just going to describe it for people who haven't seen it, but it has a man sitting in a corner who is a scientist, a German researcher. And then across from him is a woman in obviously Victorian clothes. And she's got her hands held apart and over her lap, and you see this glowing light between her hands, and she's looking down very seriously at this light. And that's a picture of a European medium named Eva C. was her, you know, her working name. And she was what they called a manifestation medium, that she would communicate with the spirits. And one of the things she could do was ask the spirits to actually create light. And in this picture, what the experiment was, she was given like a length of cotton thread, and she holds it between her hands and concentrates, and it begins to glow. And that's a picture of one of those experiments.